For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thank you. Hello again, fellow basement dwellers. This is your good friend, Patrick O'Dowd, welcoming you in to another edition of Bandwagon Nerds. Bandwagon Nerds is, of course, brought to you by the ChairShot Radio Network on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And remember to support us by heading over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and investing in one of our mini t-shirt designs. Remember, kids, if you're the next one to purchase a Bandwagon Nerds t-shirt, you will be publicly thanked on these internet airwaves. This has been going on for a while, though, so I have a feeling. I have a feeling my message is not getting out to you all. You can be recognized. Stand and be recognized. We will... Dave's not here today, so I'm going to break the rule and do the. I will acknowledge you on these internet airwaves. So, Dave, that's right. David Ungar, the lawyer, not here today. It's kind of a quiet bandwagon, kids. It's kind of a quiet bandwagon. We do have Mr. Consistency, Mr. Saturday Night. The Iron Man of the bandwagon, the Cal Ripken. Oh, he's wearing an Iron Man shirt too. How about that? The Cal Ripken of bandwagon nerds, one Mr. PC Tunney joining us on the bandwagon. So welcome back, Tunney. Good to see you.
Oh, Patrick, imagine me and you and me, no matter how they toss the dice, it had to be. We're just so happy together.
We are happy together. A dynamic duo. Let's get some comic book jokes in there as well. But and we had this had to happen. It's Super Bowl Sunday as we're recording this. Very, very exciting. Dave is hanging out with the mouse. Very, very exciting for him. And I'm assuming DP is too busy ducking me by preparing for a Super Bowl party to be on the program.
Okay, so he is hosting the Super Bowl this year. We talked about this before the show. He's smoking a brisket for everybody, so he gets a pass on that for me because I'll be eating the brisket.
You're very excited about the brisket.
Yes, it looks really good already. I've seen some pictures, so yeah, very excited. I know it's not an acceptable excuse for you because you will be unable to taste said brisket.
I will be unable to taste said brisket. That's okay. I'm going to go wait in line for 7 hours to get wings at one of our local establishments or something to that extent. It's funny because I don't have Super Bowl plans so much as I will watch the game and watch for trailers. Like, that's really what I'm doing is I'm looking for trailers.
There's supposed to be some pretty good commercials. I'm looking forward to Usher at halftime. I think you're going to have a lot of really cool cameos for his halftime performance. I think it's going to be a really good game.
Yep.
How about the Little O'Dowd? Any interest in football or no?
No, the Little O'Dowd is the definition of not a sports guy. In fact, he would probably be best friends with DP at this point in the sense of video games and Legos. Yeah. Like that seems like those, it seems like those two would vibe. He, I have turned the Little O'Dowd into a bit of a video game hipster, and I don't know how I feel. Like he came in, into the family room the other day, and he was like, "Dad, I prefer PC to console."
Oh, geez, here we go.
And then I'm like, "Okay." He's like, "I do. It's just better." And then I'm like, "All right." And I was like, "Well, do you like AAA games?" Or he's like, "I prefer indies. We don't need millions of dollars." I'm like, "You were 12, dude." Just turned 12 this week.
It sounds like your son. Let me tell you though.
I'm like, dude, I have made him a video game hipster, which good for him. But we are doing something a little bit different today, noble listener, because of the Super Bowl, because we have a stripped down bandwagon, just the two of us today. We are going to have a little bit of a stripped down episode, but we're going to do something special, something we haven't done on the bandwagon. I must save it. I'm just going to let it happen later on in the program for you all. So it'll, a little bit of a tease for y'all, but something that if you've listened to our work here on Chair Shot, you have heard before, but not on the bandwagon. That doesn't mean we're not going to do some of the things we usually do. We are going to do a trailer park before we go into our something special. And of course, we will talk about what we've been watching when we get to the end of the program. But I just to wrap up, I'm excited for the Super Bowl too. I do love watching it. Someday I hope to actually care about the winner. One day, like on my deathbed when I'm 98 years old, the Bears will finally win one. Yeah. Maybe again. Yeah. I mean, I have 1985. It's so funny to talk to young Bears fans who just, they can't relate to that. Like they can't. In their lifetime, we've just always hated that the Packers are better than us.
So the last time the Packers won the Super Bowl, 2010, I think the Super Bowl was in 2011 or whatever, we beat the Bears in the NFC Championship game.
I remember this.
At the time, I was driving truck for a company, and my boss is from Illinois and is a huge Bears fan. So I bet him that if the Bears won, I would work the day after the Super Bowl for free. But if the Packers won, I would get the day off after the Super Bowl and still get paid.
Well, congratulations on that victory. Well done.
Thank you.
But we are, like I said, like it's exciting. It's exciting times. People are going to overeat and indulge and watch commercials and watch the game. I'm interested in the game, but much more interested because in the commercials, just because that's good material for the bandwagon. It's usually when we get our first looks at some movies that are coming out this summer, maybe a Deadpool trailer. We hope
that
fingers crossed. That's our only Marvel movie. So
that's the one I've heard rumors of. I've seen some pretty cool commercials that are supposed to come out, some like preludes to the commercials as well. So I'm looking forward to that. Right. Have you heard any other big trailers that could be dropping during the
Super Bowl? I haven't really paid attention to be honest. I've kind of let it come to me. Well, what's really disappointing about the Super Bowl now, and this was not part of the agenda, everybody, you're getting bonus content right now. But the Super Bowl has changed with the advent of the interwebs and streaming and YouTube. Like part of what was like the fun and allure of the Super Bowl commercial was that you had to watch the game to have the game on to get to the commercials. So you'd always hear people be like, "Oh, I'm just here to watch the commercials." That was a very real thing. Like that's what made my mom sit through the Super Bowl, was because my mom wanted to see the commercials because they're unique. They're different. They're funny. USA Today used to rank them all. They still do. But now a lot of companies are releasing their commercials on the internet they're like, watch the big game commercial now on our website. And so it kind of takes a little bit of the magic away from the Super Bowl commercial.
2 points just to go run off of exactly what you're saying. And it's great, great points there. One is the fact that you can just wait till after the Super Bowl and go on YouTube and watch the commercials again. You couldn't do that before. And speaking of back when you couldn't do that, like you're a couple few years older than I am, you know, so we're roughly the same age. But I remember being a kid and into my early teens, that during the game, the party was going. People were talking. People were watching. I think Patrick just had a spit take. Yeah, wrong pipe. He looks to be okay. I think he's laughing and choking at the same time. He's okay. He's okay, folks. So I remember, though, once the commercials came on, it was quiet. And everybody was listening to the commercials. So that is definitely one of the memories I have as a youngster right there.
The other thing about the Super Bowl commercial, not just like that made him special, like people would get silent and watch. They also used to have longevity, and like year after year, you would see returns to certain ad campaigns. For me, the Budweiser campaign that was the Bud Bowl. Do you remember the Bud Bowl? Yes. Where the bottles would play each other? Bud Bowl, it was a stop motion animation.
Yeah, it was
thing.
Like Bud Bowl 6, Bud Bowl 7, and everything else, right?
Right. And eventually it fell to the wayside, but you used to get updates throughout the Super Bowl of the score of the Bud versus Bud Light game. And I, as a kid, talk about marketing to children, by the way, like as a child, like here's these animated beer bottles playing football. And I'm like, that's more exciting than the actual game. So many great ad campaigns. And that's probably a list show that we should do a Super Bowl Sunday, like in front of us, just our favorite Super Bowl commercials of all time, because there's so much out there. We don't have great taste, less filling without the Super Bowl. I do believe that was a Super Bowl ad campaign. But you know what? That's 10 minutes of show you didn't know you were going to get, everybody. And we're going to roll into our actual agenda now. We have no pro show to cover today. And with just Tunney and I, we weren't going to pick something out of the blue to review. So we're going to jump right into the trailer park. And in a rare moment, I'm going to ask one PC Tunney with a little bit of trepidation to cue that beautiful banjo. I love that you just have a different banjo tune every time. Every time you fill in for Dave, it is a different banjo tune. It's never been the same banjo tune twice. I appreciate that.
I try to be prepared so that when I'm done, I don't have to edit.
Very fair. Very fair. All right. So I did it to you, and I'm sorry that I did this to you. Uh-oh. What?
Nothing.
What happened?
No, you're good.
Did you not watch one of the trailers?
I gotta be honest with you. We might have to pause the show for 5 minutes.
So we've got 5 trailers today for the trailer park. I did want to make sure we got our money's worth. I did it again though, Tony, where I did that thing where I was on YouTube with like different trailers, and then I was like, huh, what about this one? And that is how we actually got to our first trailer on the list today, titled The Completely Made-Up Adventures of Dick Turpin. I was sitting around and I saw this trailer under the Apple TV channel and was like, okay, this looks goofy. So I hit play. Little did I know that we would be walking into a trailer for a show that probably gets a little bit of an Our Flag Means Death kind of vibe, a little Taika Waititi-esque of a sort of foppish British outlaw who wants to become the next most feared highwayman in the 1800s or the 1700s. I can't really put a date on it. But I got to tell you, man, I was highly entertained by this guy. And I think the moment that really hit it for me was when he's got this group of people that they've just robbed the trailer for. They're all tied up and he wants them to complete a survey because he wants to give them a more enjoyable robbery experience. He's looking for feedback on how it goes. And that's just the sort of thing that you're going to get out of this, this show I can see on Apple TV Plus. And I just love that these are the kinds of programs you can find on Apple TV, because this is a risky program. This is the sort of thing that if it's on HBO, much like Our Flag Means Death, gets canceled after two seasons because audiences and David Zaslav aren't going to see it through. But I think this thing looks hilarious. I meant to look up the cast to see who it is. It's people like Hugh Bonneville is in it playing a character known as Jonathan Wild. Dick Turpin is played by Noel Fielding. I don't know. I'm kind of in on this when it hits, and Apple TV Plus usually makes it pretty easy to follow something. So that's my thought on this first trailer.
To me, it was kind of like Robin Hood meets Jack Sparrow.
A little bit, yeah.
You know, it looks fun. There's a lot of witty wordplay. I can't wait to get this dick in my hands. You know.
Oh yes, that was good.
The young server in the pub. You know, here, Dick, I brought you your peppermint tea and I threw a little honey in it. I know you got a scratchy throat. You know, this guy, the dichotomy of his personality and character to what you would actually think would be like a highway robberman. And then the last one in the thing where it mentioned different parts in there that were funny was they're sitting on the side of the road waiting to hijack the next person that comes along. And he's like on three and he goes one, two. He never says three. And the caravan goes along. He's like, well, we'll get the next one. So, yeah, it looks fun. This was a series, right?
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a series hitting Apple TV in the coming months. So yeah, I forgot to check out a release date, but this looks like a good time. It definitely looks like something I'll be able to spend some time checking out and watching. So can't wait for that. I also both of these first two trailers, completely accidents that I came across. This one I came across while scouring through my favorite website, io9. And I think I was reading their morning spoilers article, and they were like villains or something about it. But it's something. The name of the movie is called Villains Incorporated, and they had this title about this. You know, looks like something that's really really funny, and it's the story of a henchwoman named Beatrix, played by Mallory Everton, who has always been the like henchman villain. She's always the sidekick villain for the big bad, and she's always wanted to try and take over the world, but she can't because she's a B-level villain. And I probably don't stop and watch this trailer if Colin Mockery as Harold, another henchman as part of her crew, isn't in it. But I'm like, that's Colin Mockery, let me check this out. And then as I'm watching this trailer, I'm like, I can kind of get behind this. This is kind of funny. Like, she's getting yelled at that she needs to have some sort of superpower. And she's like, I took two classes on witchcraft or necromancy, so I could kind of speak with the dead. Like she's a little delusional. She's a little dumb. She's trying hard. The trailer opens like she's in the unemployment line trying to collect her unemployment check. And the person who's working there is like, well, did you try? I can't remember. It's like, did you try to take over the world today? Did you fail? And she's like, well, no. Well, then you don't get paid. It's just like, it's funny stuff. Again, looks like a neat little take on the superhero genre, the big bad villain, and kind of one of those movies that's going to look at the other guy, those background characters that we don't necessarily pay attention to, in a fun and entertaining way. Colin Mockery has jazz hands.
Yes, it's not arthritis, it's jazz hands. It looks like this could be really well written and just fun. And you know, we've seen like the B-level superhero movies, right? You know, I don't really remember the B-level like live-action villain movies. So a new story to tell here. The lead character, whoever's playing Beatrix, looks like she's going to do a hell of a job in that role. The last thing I'll say is when she's trying to register her name with like the villain's you know, directory, like she can't have any name. She ends up with like villain girl 867428, and then she couldn't have that. She had to be 4289 or something. So yeah, it looks like it'd be a lot of fun.
It looks like there's a lot of paperwork involved. So yeah. That's I love things like that. You know, kind of in the vein of like an office space, the other guys, Free Guy's another one on the hero side of things with that video game take. So looks like a lot of fun. But let's get into the three sort of quote unquote heavy hitters, as the little O'Dowd would say, the AAA trailers of the trailer park today. And we're going to start with a series that is debuting on Paramount Plus, Tales of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. This is an animated series that is a direct spinoff from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem movie, the Seth Rogen project. The art style is not the same as the movie. This is a more traditional looking animation style with colored cells, as opposed to sort of what I argue is like this fascinating claymation animation hybrid looking deal. Like it looks like a painted palette in some way. This looks like a more traditional cartoon.
This looks less expensive.
Absolutely.
Doesn't look bad, but it looks less expensive. It looks really good, actually. And why wouldn't they have had this all planned out all along? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is one of the, you know, most successful franchises of anything in said genre. And Nickelodeon should have a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles weekly show.
And they consistently have. And I think the interesting thing about this one, I don't know that it said that it was playing on Nickelodeon at all. I think it's only streaming on Paramount. Is it playing on Nickelodeon? It's streaming on Paramount Plus for sure.
It showed Nickelodeon before that.
Oh, I because I know that's the brand. I know Paramount owns the Nickelodeon brand.
Then.
So I definitely know it's on Paramount Plus. But it seems like it keeps a lot of the same humor. It seems like I didn't look to see if it's the same voice actors from the movie, but some of them definitely sound like they are. So I'm hoping that means that that they got those kids to continue to be in the roles, because I think that makes a lot of sense.
Well, once again, that'll also be about the money.
Well, the kids are cheap. Let's be real.
I suppose.
Or at least they're still cheap now, because it's still early for their careers. So, you know, that's usually when you can take advantage of that. A lot of fun. So if you or your child enjoyed Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem, definitely check that out. Give it a look, because I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be good. And I think it's going to connect, because there is already a sequel that's been confirmed. Like, they've already set that up. It's at least in the storyboarding sort of pre-production phase. We'll see if it makes it to the big screen. I think it will. The next one, did you ever see A Quiet Place?
No, but I know what it's about.
Right. I always hesitate when it's just the two of us to put on something that may or may not be horror, just because I know what you like and don't like in a drama. But I always lean on, or a film, but I always do kind of lean into, if it's a thriller or something that's a little more tight and intense, that might be something that you might have checked out or given a look. A Quiet Place 1 is better than A Quiet Place 2, in my opinion. I do like both films. I think they're both quite good. But, you know, the first one with Krasinski and Emily Blunt as a family, 400, you know, a year plus after this alien invasion has taken place, where the people survive by not making sound, because the aliens are incredibly sensitive to sound and very reactive to noise and will attack and devour anything that makes noise. This series is very much more along the lines of tension and thriller than it is horror, in my opinion. And I really love that about this series so far. We got a trailer for A Quiet Place Day One, and it looks like it's going to be the one to tell us, it's the prequel. It's going to tell us how the invasion started and what happens. And it looks very interesting in the sense that it is going to progress to the point of where the original film, at least how society has, how humans have adapted to try and survive, like that piece of it has been brought to the fore at the end of this film that I do believe is, again, it's a Paramount film. I'm not sure if it's exclusive to theaters. I think it is in theaters. I've enjoyed the first two movies. I usually get a little dicey on prequels. Looks like the main character, I can't tell if they're deaf or mute or anything, because I don't know that the main character that we see or follow, that they speak or make any sort of noise or sound or gesture in any way, shape, or form other than surviving in this film. So, Tony, I turn to you. What are your thoughts on prequels in general, and what do you think of the look of this film?
I would say anybody who's been following A Quiet Place would definitely be interested in this is basically the origin story of how Earth became like this, right? So to see to see the aliens shooting down out of the sky and the initial attack, and I'm sure it goes and transitions into how people start to survive originally. So yeah, it was a really cool setup to show day whatever for something with Krasinski, and then to wind it back and go, well, here's when things were normal, and now here's where they started to stop being normal.
Right. And a really big time cast too. Diamond Hansu, Lupita Nyong, both well-regarded, well-respected actors that play primary roles in this film. You can't go wrong with a cast like that. And John Krasinski has a writing credit, so he was involved. And remember, this has been his brainchild, A Quiet Place. So I do feel like, at the very least, the people that have been originally involved with this, the people who have been a part of these films, they are still heavily involved in this movie, and that bodes well for future, you know, for the future of this movie, and it'll probably do pretty well. So that Quiet Place Day One, coming soon to a theater near you. All right, last trailer. I'm going to watch this series. So this is another Paramount Plus series, kids. And the reason I'm going to watch this series is because the Little O'Dowd is going to watch this series. And so if the Little O'Dowd is going to watch this series, I'm going to watch the limited run Sonic the Hedgehog sequel series, Knuckles Hedgehog, York. Sonic the Hedgehog sequel series to spin off Knuckles. Now, for those of you who don't recall or didn't see Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Knuckles was introduced. He's voiced by Idris Elba and was probably, for me, a real highlight of the series. Here's the good news. Idris Elba is still voicing Knuckles in this limited run Paramount Plus exclusive series. I got to tell you, man, I don't know that I needed the Little O'Dowd to be interested in this for me to watch it. Like, there's some funny shit in this series. Like, when Knuckles is creating a fighting arena in the living room of the house, where we also get Maddie, Tika Sumpter is back as Maddie, the mother figure who adopts them. And Knuckles has got the family dog facing off against his greatest enemy, a postman that he has kidnapped and put armor and given a club to. That's some funny shit. And this looks really good.
Yeah, I think it's a really clever thing to do. Like, Knuckles just can't sit still, and he's always has to be who he is and seeking vengeance and you know, being the great warrior that he is. And Earth really isn't suited for him now that there's no battle to be fought. So what does he do but all these crazy things? And I was laughing my ass off when they revealed the mailman was the guy who's the dog was going to fight. So I thought that was pretty good. It'll be interesting to see what kind of situations they can all draw from this. You got the out of shape dude trying to get in shape as well to become a warrior. So that led to some comedic hijinks indeed.
He's like the deputy in the movie, like the deputy to James Marsden's sheriff in the movie, if I do recall. Sounds like Ben Schwartz did a little bit of cameo work to revive his voiceover role as Sonic as well. So they're keeping continuity all the way through too, which I think is really, really good. But this looks like a lot of fun. If you enjoyed the Sonic the Hedgehog movies for what they are, and they are fun, family fare, fluff, animated, live action with animated characters, you're going to enjoy this one. So I can't recommend it enough. And so, folks, that's our trailer park. That's it. That's all we got. And when we're going to take our first commercial break, and we come back, Tony and I, your uncles Patrick and PC, we got a special treat for y'all, but you got to stick around to see what it is when we come back. You are listening to Bandwagon Nerds here on the Chairshot Radio Network on thechairshot.com.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back, everyone, to Bandwagon Nerds here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com. Always use your head. Remember, prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot for any of your Chairshot swag needs. Shirts are only $19.99. Spend a few dollars more. Get it soft style. And like I said, you buy the next Bandwagon Nerd shirt, we will thank you on the program. Okay, so I'm sitting here being like, we got no Dave, we got no DP, we got that guy from the Mindless Wrestling Podcast isn't gonna, that dude, I hear his show is really good, DJ, that's his name, that guy, he can't make it. We got, it's just me and PC Tunney. What can we do? Because here, don't take this the wrong way, bro. But I was like, looking at all this news stuff. I know, now you're going to take it the wrong way. I was looking at all these news items, and I'm like, I'm going to throw it at Tony. He's going to be like, I don't know. You tell me. And I didn't know how good a podcasting that is. So I was like, what can we do on the bandwagon that Tony will get excited for that we could do? So I thought, you know what? Sometimes I do another show on the Chair Shot Radio, and I do it with this PC Tunney character. And we have a lot of fun with it. Why don't we just bring that to the bandwagon? So, kids, I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to play you into our special surprise.
And now, the group you've all been waiting for, the Lovers of Five.
I'm David, and I'd like to tell you about my favorite number, which is the number five. And the number five is my favorite number because it has one straight line here, and then it has a round line on the bottom here, and then it has another line on the top. I love singing about the number five.
Give me five. Ah, give me five.
Yeah, give me five.
Give me one, two, three, four. Give me five.
Give me
one, two, three, four, but if you love me more, give me five.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Give me five.
Woo, that's right. Give me five. We are bringing in a special Bandwagon Nerds edition of the 5x5. For those of you who are uninitiated on the 5x5, this is a podcast that I do every once in a while when either Dave's absent or we're just looking for something a little fun and different to do. And what we do is we are going to take a subject and we are going to do, usually it's the five best and five worst of a subject. This time, though, we're doing a little bit of a spin on it because we're actually doing two categories that are similar and fit together, but they're not really, it's not really one topic. And so today, for the 5x5 Bandwagon Nerds Edition, PC Tunney and I have agreed to do our top five shows that were ended too soon on television or streaming, and our top five shows that hung on just a little too long and should have been canceled sooner. I love this format. I love this. We treat it just like our list shows. So for those of you who don't know the rules, when we do a list show, we have our five in this case. One of us takes a turn, announces our pick. If the other one has it higher on their list, they're going to raise their hand just like we do for all of our projects. We'll hold off on that similarity until it's at its highest point on our list. We're going to count down from number five to number one. Usually, I go on the positive side of things, quote-unquote positive side of things, and I let the guest on the show do the what I think is the more fun of the two, because it would be is the one that generates the most conversation when it comes to shows that have ended too soon this time. So for this particular go-around, I will be leading us off on the conversation of shows that ended too soon, and Tunney will be leading us off on the shows that lasted too long. I'm excited for this. Tunney, I made a list of eight. I have three honorable mentions in each category. So I'm sure you did too.
No honorable mentions.
You didn't?
Nothing written down.
Really?
I got my top five. I thought this was going to... Okay, so I specifically dedicated this morning to doing this list and writing my Super Bowl Jeopardy, right? Obviously, just so folks know, that little hiccup right before the trailer park was me having forgotten to watch the trailers, so we paused so I could watch them. That's how dedicated I was to getting this. This was a lot easier than I thought. I pulled up half a dozen to eight lists that exist like this because there's a lot of articles like on both of these. You know,
oh yeah, absolutely.
And stuff just hit me, and I went, "Yep, oh yeah,
yep.
Oh yep." So I'm ready to go. I'm excited. This is a fun one. This is a good, and this was a Patrick O'Dowd original idea here. So I'm ready.
Thank you. All right. Well, then, if you're ready to go, let's get into the first one. The first show that I chose was actually a show that Greg DeMarco turned me on to, and that I caught up to a little. Greg DeMarco.
Who's that?
Allegedly, he runs the site.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't know. He's supposedly my best friend. I hear from him once a week not even always once a week. Like I hear from him maybe when the two of us are in agreement to. We did text today. We texted today about going to Las Vegas. So, you know, we got that. So that's going on. Sorry, I dropped my phone. But he turned me on to this show. I'm a big fan, and I think you probably were too back in the day growing up, of SportsCenter. SportsCenter is like this ritual, something you watch. And Greg DeMarco is also a big fan of Aaron Sorkin and Aaron Sorkin's writing style. For those of you who don't know, he's most famous for his writing on The West Wing, that dialogue, that back and forth dialogue, that sharp back and forth. Well, he also was the writer behind a comedy that only lasted three seasons. I say comedy, it's a dramedy much more than anything, called Sports Night. And Sports Night is one of those shows that if you go back and watch now, damn, was it so much ahead of its time and so much better than people really thought it to be. And I think it was one of those that executives didn't get. This show lasted only three seasons. It starred Felicity Huffman before she fell from disgrace fell into disgrace for trying to buy her kids way into college. Her husband, William H. Macy, shows up later on in the series as an antagonist. It starred, I always pronounce this guy's name wrong, Robert Guillaume, or he was Benson. He was in the show Benson. Do you know who I'm talking about? Oh, you would know him if you saw him. Also is the voice of Rafiki in Lion King. But fun cast. It was really, it was really anchored and run by Peter Krause, who plays Casey McCall, one of the anchors. and Josh Charles, who plays his best friend and anchor Dan Rydell. It's really, really smart. It's really, really witty. They bounce off of each other so well, and the chemistry among that cast is really tight. It unfortunately, like I said, only made it about 2.5 seasons before it was canceled, and they basically wrote that into the show as to how it was. I love that show, and strongly advise, if you can find it on streaming, give it a look, give it a watch. It's pretty good.
I've seen every episode of it. It's great. It didn't come up on my radar, but I agree that I wished at the time there would have been more seasons, more episodes. So yeah, great call. Great call. Really good show. If you haven't seen it, check it out.
Cool. Well, now we'll go to your number five, your show that canceled way too soon.
This is an interesting one because it was canceled way too soon and it came back and it's still on, which means it was canceled too soon.
Oh.
So to start off my list, I always like to have one or two fun ones. I think this is probably the only fun one today. Family Guy. Family Guy was canceled too soon.
Yeah.
It indeed was canceled. And if you don't know that, you should go read the stories about how the fans loved it so much that Fox was smart enough to bring it back. And now, basically, it's still new every fall through spring on Fox. So I will say Family Guy, and the proof is in the pudding. We're still watching it.
I know a lot of people like Family Guy.
Not a fan?
Patrick O'Dowd does not like Family Guy.
I am up and down with it.
I don't, like, it's fine. Like, yeah. I don't hate it. Like, I don't hate it, but like, it's one of those where I'm like, it's kind of emblematic of the type of comedy of the time where there's a lot of things that happen, but like a lot of the jokes are like, oh, it's like that time I met the Dalai Lama at a 7-Eleven, and then they cut away to the Dalai Lama at a 7-Eleven, like that sort of things, which is funny because one of my favorite shows of all time, Scrubs, that's very much his brand of humor. Yet when I watched it at Family Guy, I was like, eh, not feeling it. And I just think it's when it became less about Stewie, that's really when it fell for me, is when Stewie and Brian sort of took a backseat.
It's kind of like The Simpsons, you know, it was all about Bart and it had to pivot into Homer and they
pivoted into
Peter pretty much and his relationship with Quagmire and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, right. It's still one of the greatest cartoon sitcoms of all time. It'll always be rated like that because of its longevity and being one of a very few shows to ever come back after getting canceled. So, all right.
Absolutely. And also created, it had at least one spinoff, right? Cleveland. Was the Cleveland show a spinoff of Family Guy?
Mm-hmm. Yep, it was. My name
is
Cleveland.
Does American Dad share the same universe as
I don't think
Family
so.
Guy?
No, I don't think so.
Huh. Interesting.
I don't think so.
Cool.
All right. My number four is something that's rumored to come back, in all honesty. And if you follow me on Twitter at PC Tunney, you heard me ask Roy Choi and Jon Favreau for more of The Chef Show, which was a spinoff of The Chef, the movie by Jon Favreau, which Roy Choi didn't really want to help him with, but said, if you really want to do this and do it right, I'll show up every day. If you can go back on Netflix and check out the first two seasons of The Chef Show, it's freaking great. It kind of applies to this show because a lot of the guests and the people that they go visit that aren't chefs are famous actors and actresses from the Marvel Universe. I know in one of the episodes, there's a dinner with Kevin Feige, Roy Choi, Jon Favreau, Tom Holland, Robert Downey Jr., Anthony Russo, and a couple other people that are really, really high hitters in the Marvel Universe. But it's a really fun show. Roy Choi is an excellent chef, and rumors possibly of this coming back, but I definitely need more than two seasons of The Chef Show on Netflix.
That is awesome. It's funny, as we go through this list so far, the like some of these shows that both of us are talking about are rumored in some way to make a return and a comeback. So, because my number four is a Marvel Netflix show that at least the character has a potential to find new life. So when Netflix wholesale started axing their Marvel Knights series after they did their Defenders, the one that hurt me the most as a fan was Luke Cage. Because the first season of Luke Cage was really good. The second season of Luke Cage ends on just the cliffhanger of all cliffhangers. And I was so ready for another season, and they axed it unceremoniously, and Luke Cage was never heard from again. And to me, it was just downright criminal that this show, which I think was every bit as good as Daredevil, did not get a second life. But there is hope, my friends. There is hope with Daredevil Born Again coming back, and they're starting to bring back some of that cast, that at the very least, maybe Mike Coulter can come back as Luke Cage one more time. And it's the story is there if they run with this, you know, President Kingpin or Mayor Kingpin thing, because at the end of season two, Luke has taken over a big part of the Harlem Underground. And that's the Harlem Mob. And that is because he has taken over for Cottonmouth and Mariah Dillard at the end. Like, he is the man in charge at the end of season two. And that's what I wanted to see next, and I didn't get it.
Do you think maybe we see something like Echo, like a next part kind of series like Echo?
God, I hope so.
Continues this and brings him in? Like, then you can call it whatever you want, but you know
really
what I mean?
I really hope so. I really, really hope so.
How amazing was Echo, by the way? Because we had to hold off, and then Dave talked really about it while you were gone. So why don't you get your chance?
He did it behind my back. Yeah. Like, that was some shit. I mentioned this in our chat. I was like, it's awful convenient that the reason we couldn't cover Echo because somebody hadn't finished it on time. And then I'm gone bowling for dollars that I didn't win. And suddenly we can talk about Echo now.
Amazing though, right? Like, I rate it like 9.5
out of 10. Oh, it's terrific. It was very, very good. I love that they changed the way she gets her powers, that it's very much tied to her ancestry. In the comics, she has powers that are very similar to the Taskmaster, in that it's like she has like sort of a hyper photographic memory. And so she's able to watch somebody do something and just mimic it back. This giving her sort of power grounded in her family. I love the way that was done. And it was just, you know, Kingpin's been sort of slowly introduced into the MCU. Like, we see him in Hawkeye. This starts to show the extent of his reach and his power. I'm excited. I'm very excited for where this goes. And I think it did a lot to do some good justice for the Echo character, because I think a lot of people were feeling kind of flat with how she was premiered and debuted in Hawkeye. So I love it. I loved it very, very much. It's very, very good. So, all right. So that's my number four. You did know your number four. My number three is a show that I've actually talked about on Bandwagon Nerds before. It's an Adam Scott-led film-led series called Party Down, the story of down-on-their-luck actors working for a catering company just trying to get by. Has Adam Scott, Jane Lynch was in it, Lizzie Kaplan, Jennifer Coolidge, Megan Mullally, Jennifer Garner was in the revival season that again sort of ended in question, and it doesn't sound like another go around is coming back. But this show premiered in 2009 on Starz, was canceled after its second season, even though it was really, really well received by critics. Its ratings were just unfortunately low. I loved this show. The revival went well. It's already been categorized as a limited revival. I don't think we're going to get it back again. It's a show that I really wish that the actors at play and the executives behind it can find the time to help it go and stay. Because it's a show that both times it's been canceled has left a lot on the table to be watched. And so Party Down, my number three.
No, you definitely turned my eyes towards that. It's on my to watch list, but we all have very long to watch lists. So, but the talented cast just draws you in right away. All those people went on to do unbelievably successful things in different movies, sitcoms, etc. So yeah, great call there. My number three is a Fox show that lasted 4 years and starred Will Forte, Kristen Schaal, Cleopatra Coleman, Jason Sudeikis, etc., etc., January Jones. It's The Last Man on Earth. I thought this was really fun and witty, the way they did it. It's like Apocalypse on Earth meets comedy, because the whole thing is very comedic. Will Forte is the main character, Phil Miller, and he just ends up meeting people along the way in this abandoned world where this virus apparently is killed. And they show it. They show different fields of bodies laid out and stuff like that. So as they go on, they have the problem of finding food that's still good and cars with gas and things of that nature and meeting new people and new things happening and starting their own society. One of the funniest things I thought is when they originally get their first group of people together, there's another guy named Phil, and he's this really tall, built, put together, handsome guy. And they go, well, we can't have two Phils. So they call Will Forte's character by his middle name, which he hates, and that's Tandy. So he ends up being called Tandy. But along the way, you have a lot of fun. Jason Sudeikis comes in, I think, in the second season as his brother, who was in space at the time and now has found his way back. So I could have used another season or two of this. I thought it was really fun. The cast was excellent. So I don't know if you've ever seen it, but really good run.
No, but I have heard really good things about it. So
yeah.
And it was, it's funny, as I was, I too used lists and research. I saw it on there and I was like, well, I haven't seen it, so I can't put it on there. But it was definitely one that was noted on multiple lists.
Yeah, I think it was the first thing January Jones did after Mad Men as well. So that was always something to see and where she was going with her career. But yeah. Oh, and Mary Sternberger is in here. She's excellent. So
very cool. Very cool.
Should we go to my number? Oh, it's your number three? My number two? Where are we at here?
I haven't done my number three yet.
I apologize.
Or I haven't done my number two. So I've done my number three. You've done your number three.
So
it's your number two.
Okay.
Drink.
No, I can't yet. This is like one of the one percentile of PC
gotta stay clean
shows. Yeah, I don't want to start too early. I'm going to be drinking all night at a Super Bowl party. I have off tomorrow and I'm not driving, folks. So there you go. My number two is Deadwood. Didn't know.
Yep. I've never seen Deadwood.
Okay, gotcha.
I know people love Deadwood.
The best thing about this, though, is years later, they did come back with a movie that finished a little bit of the story. Yeah, and like I said before, I know we have lists and prioritize our own lists of what we still need to watch, but if you haven't seen Deadwood and you enjoy that genre of the Wild Wild West and things of that nature, what an amazing cast. Talk about Timothy Olyphant, Ian McShane, et cetera, et cetera. Just a brilliant, brilliantly put together show. Don't watch it around your kids or they're going to be swearing a lot.
Nice. I mean, not nice. But I get you. I hear you there. So for my number two, I'm going back to my childhood.
Okay. I think we're at completely different lists. This is great.
So when I was a kid, I got really into the Fox Saturday morning cartoon block with the X-Men cartoon, because they had a bunch of Marvel cartoons in the 90s. But my favorite was the 1994 to 98 series Spider-Man the Animated Series. And this show ended abruptly because of arguments and fights behind the scenes between producer Avi Arad from Marvel and Fox's folks and Saban Entertainment, who all started to really get in and after each other over the direction of their programming and their shows. And so Spider-Man, the animated series in 1994, ended with the most unsatisfactory finish ever, where Spider-Man is left searching through multiple dimensions to find Mary Jane because they weren't given the opportunity to finish this show. But it was so, so good and so, so true to the comics in so many ways that it was a crime that it didn't get finished. And, you know, a lot of people love the portrayal of J. Jonah Jameson that's done by, and I'm going to forget his name now as I'm sitting, who's been J. Jonah Jameson now in, he's the jazz teacher in, what is it? Sorry, give me a second.
I'm not sure.
Oh, I had his name in my brain, and then I forgot it. J.K. Simmons. J.K. Simmons plays J. Jonah Jameson. Really, really fast. But for me, my first J. Jonah Jameson actor was Ed Asner. Ed Asner was the voice of J. Jonah Jameson in the cartoons.
Could just said
and
Omni-Man.
What?
Could just said Omni-Man.
I could have said Omni-Man, but I like I got nothing. I'm tired. I went to a birthday party today. It sucks.
You need to eat lunch, Patrick, but, and settle in with a stiff drink for the Super Bowl. That's what you need.
That is true. But Spider-Man, that animated series was so damn good. It was really top-notch. And it hit, you name a Spider-Man Rogues Gallery character, and he was in there. Like, they hit everybody, anywhere, and everything. And it had cameos from the X-Men. It had cameos from Captain America, Blade, Iron Man makes an appearance. Like, it was all across Marvel Comics. It was so, so good. I hated that it got canceled, and that, you know, I can go back and rewatch it on on Disney Plus for now. But that's by way too soon, and I miss it. All right, my number one TV series that lasted one season and didn't even get its full season, sci-fi film in the vein of Star Wars, sci-fi western called Firefly, was a Joss Whedon film. I don't know why this show got canceled, because it was never given the shot that it deserved. Nathan Fillion has this ship that he runs that is they're basically, I don't know what to, it's like Han Solo. He's like, they're smugglers, they're rogues. He's got this crew that had a hell of a cast. Alan Tudyk, Adam Baldwin, Gina Torres. The poor show only lasted 14 episodes and then was later given a movie to sort of bring it all together and wrap it up. But it was far and away just this ahead of its time space western that has such a strong cult following and never got to see itself through. Canceled unceremoniously. I love this show. I miss this show. I wish it would come back.
I've never seen the show, but do you know how I know of the cult-like nature it has, cult classic nature it has with said fandom ship? Do you want to know how I know that?
How do you know that?
Do you watch The Big Bang Theory, or did you watch The Big Bang Theory?
Oh, yeah. I definitely
Sheldon Cooper's disappointment and he wrote letters to the people who had the network that can't, he called the Sci-Fi Channel, didn't he, and asked them why they, so to Sheldon,
yeah,
Cooper's
something like that,
to Sheldon Cooper's disappointment on Big Bang Theory is really my first glimpse into the disappointment of Firefly fans. So yeah, great call. It's probably one of the most classically cut short things that people regret that it didn't get more of a run to this day.
Yeah, miss it so much. The movie is good, but it does not give you a satisfactory ending, and it really makes me pissed because they killed off so many great, a couple of really great characters, really popular characters, to bring some closure. All right, you're number one, sir.
My number one was two seasons and was really the lesson learned that led us to Game of Thrones, and it was a series on HBO for 2 years called Rome, which starred Ray Stevenson, Polly Walker, Ciaran Hines, James Purefoy, Kevin McKidd, Toby Menzies, Simon Woods, Kerry Condon, Indira Varma, Lindsay Marshall. I mean, the cast was epic, the set was epic, and it cost way too much fucking money, and they had to shut it down after the second season. And like I said, there are literally executives at HBO going, the lessons we learned from Rome are what allowed us to do Game of Thrones the way we were allowed to do it. If you love that era, a Roman era of Julius Caesar, etc., and this show is really about the city of Rome and the people that inhabited inside the city of Rome, this is just a phenomenal, phenomenal watch. A very adult show, but excellently executed with amazing actors and actresses.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's an epic series that, yeah, it was so ambitious. It was a little too ambitious. And that ended up being its unfortunate downfall, really through no fault of its own. So, all right, folks, there you have it. PC Tunney and Patrick O'Dowd's 10 shows on television that were cut down way too early. My three honorable mentions, Freaks and Geeks.
Seen that on a lot of lists.
So many Judd Apatow friends were on that show. A show I'm currently rewatching on Max, Fringe, which was, in my opinion, the answer to The X-Files. And then last but not least, a show that can never be brought back without complete recasting because it starred Jonathan Majors as its lead actor. Lovecraft Country, hell of a great show on HBO. People didn't get it. And that's too bad because it had a lot of potential for a show that's not going to make it. And now it won't ever come back because Jonathan Majors is never acting again. Seems pretty clear that that's going to happen. So, all right. Tell you what, Tunney, let's go ahead and take our second commercial break now. We'll come back and then we'll do our top five shows that went on too long. You're listening to Bandwagon Nerds here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back, everyone, to Bandwagon Nerds. Patrick O'Dowd, PC Tunney, giving you a very special Bandwagon Nerds edition of the 5x5. We are here talking about our five shows on television or streaming that lasted too long. And the segment that we just did right before the commercial break was our five shows that were on TV or streaming that were cut too short. I went first on the shows that that were cut short. So that means the PC Tunney gets to kick us off with shows that overstayed. You're welcome, and we're on too long. Sir, you're number five.
We shared nothing, but came up with...
We did share nothing in the first half,
but I think it was kind of cool because we did get through a lot of really great shows that didn't last long enough. I have a feeling there will be at least one, and I don't know which one, but I think at least one thing in common here. I'll start the bidding.
It would be a minor record if we didn't overlap,
right?
At all.
Yeah. I'll start the bidding, Bob, with my number five that lasted too long. Two and a Half Men.
I never watched Two and a Half Men.
So it's funny because this is one of those shows that I never watched when it was out brand new every week. I just didn't. I don't know why. But then in syndication, you know, sometimes things aren't on or there's nothing to watch. Or you're just floating through the channels and you see some funny stuff. While the Ashton Kutcher Two and a Half Men is okay, it was unnecessary. This was a Charlie Sheen show, and the only reason it got brought back was to stick it to Charlie Sheen when he's going through all that bullshit and arguing back and forth with Chuck Lorre. So I just don't think it was necessary. So for me, number five on my list of shows that stayed too long is the Ashton Kutcher-led part of Two and a Half Men.
You know, there were several sitcoms I thought about including in here. I only have one sitcom on my list, by the way. So, spoiler alert.
Three and two other dramas. There
were a couple that I seriously thought about, and I don't want to spout those off while we still have a lot of lists to go. But Two and a Half Men, yeah, that was one that just, yeah, it went on forever. And that's... And yeah, casting changes usually can be a big one that shows you that a show just needs to call it. All right. My number five is a show that only went five seasons, but it was probably about two seasons too long. The HBO sci-fi mindbender series Westworld. It's your number. It's higher on Tunney's list.
But that's fine. We can talk about it now because it's my next one. So it's all good.
Yeah. So it's Tunney's number four. So there it is, everybody. I was the one who broke the seal and got us tied up on a similar pick. I loved season one of Westworld, I would put up there with any season of television as amongst the best television I've ever watched in my entire life. From the way that they told disparate stories, where you weren't really sure you were in the past or the present, to the big reveal at the end when everything finally goes south with the machines. It's just amazing and brilliant. When that season ended, I was ready for season two. And then season two was kind of okay. And then season three, it started to be like, what are we fucking doing? And by the time we got to season four or five, it's like, we're just going to throw it against the wall and see what sticks. And I watched it all the way to the end. Season five, the last season, finally got itself back to being compelling television. But by then it was too late. And it was just too late. It was too much. It was too long. And it was a snake that ate its own tail and probably was burdened by the success of its first season to hit new levels. And it just couldn't do it.
I couldn't agree with you more that season one of this show in a vacuum is one of the best first seasons of a show I've ever seen. It was so amazingly awesome and different and well-written and just kept you on your toes. And then, well, here, Patrick, you know me pretty well. How far into this series did PC Tunney make it? Let's play that game.
Into Westworld?
Yeah.
Two episodes into season two.
I finished season two and went, I am never watching any of this fucking show ever again, because I started season two and I love season one so much. And I'm like, maybe something happens where we get back to that. And then I had people who had the same feeling as I did, and they were talking about season three to me, and they're like, it just gets even worse. And I'm like, good. I'm glad I had already made up my mind. Never again.
And you were probably right to do so. It was one of those shows. Sometimes I get into this where I'm like, you know what?
Fuck
I'm seeing it through.
Fuck it.
I'm seeing it through. And I saw it through.
Unfortunately.
So I saw Westworld through. I also saw this next series through, and I really regret it, too. Since you already did your number four with Westworld, I'm trumping you here with my number four. Awesome show on Showtime. Has one of the most infamous series finales of all time. Did get a revival season that was sort of okay, but still just wasn't the same. Dexter. Dexter was a seven-season series that should have ended after season three, when Dexter's love of his life, mother of his child, wife, Rita, is found murdered in a bathtub in one of the best twist endings I've ever watched at the end of a season. For those of you who don't know, Dexter is a serial killer who, as a child, was found by a police officer in like a semi-truck trailer, like one of those truck trailers, with his mother brutally murdered. He's like covered in blood, and he is like, basically he's wrong and he's off. And his father recognizes this at a young age when he sees him murdering, like killing animals. And so rather than have the boy committed and put away in a psychiatric hospital, he actually gives him rules to live by that allow him to manage what he calls his dark passenger. And allows him, like, he, any victim that he chooses, as it starts to get more complicated, he has to follow these specific set of rules, to where he's basically a vigilante serial killer, to where he satisfies his urges by following these rules. And so everybody he kills is a horrible person and a criminal, and he has to be able to prove it. He is a forensic scientist who specializes in blood and blood spatters. And so that's how he finds his victims, is he finds people who are perpetrating other crimes to then commit his. Season three, he's going up against a fellow serial killer played by John Lithgow. And it's, first of all, it's one of the most amazing performances in John Lithgow's career. But that series ends on season three, and there's just no words, and they just couldn't follow it. And then it got dumb, and then it got really dumb. And then he ended up being a mountain man in Canada. And that just was the worst. He He was a lumberjack. And I was like, okay, fuck all this shit all the way off. But I saw it through. Saw it through. Dexter, my number four.
Patrick O'Dowd, glutton for punishment.
I really am. So it's on to your number three.
Yes.
Since you did your number four.
Yeah, my number four was Westworld. My number three is really weird. It's a really weird show, and I'll tell you why. Because I'm going to tell you how I classify this. I absolutely enjoyed the first 6 to 7 out of 9 seasons they had. This show has an amazing cast. This show is also the least rewatchable thing I've ever watched in my entire life. How I Met Your Mother. This should have been done 2 or 3 seasons before the finish. The way they ended up showing you how he met the mother was horrible. But Josh Radnor, Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Allison Hannigan, and Jason Segel form one of the coolest casts on a sitcom of Friends that ever existed in television. If you watch this for the first run, in my opinion, it just is so good. There's so many jokes. There's so many things that carry it through. The friendships they have, the relationships they build with each other. But once you get Robin and Barney being together, you know, you're kind of going outside of where you were in the show. I don't like the ending. I thought they could have wrapped this up in 6, maybe even 7 if you would have done the last season correct. So, yeah, How I Met Your Mother. What an interesting way to describe a show on all these different points of the
I was very much interested in this show. Watched it all the way to the end. The last season is dumb and terrible. And fans just felt so cheated by that ending too, because all this build up to then have it be a vehicle for him to eventually get together with Robin at the end was just, people hated that result, hated that ending. And it was dumb. So I'm right there with you. Are you ready to be floored by my number three?
Sure.
No. So first of all, I'm going to tell you straight up, you hate this show.
Oh,
so I love this show.
Yeah, it was on a lot of lists.
You hate
though.
This show.
It was on. I don't hate it. I've watched maybe 3 or 4 episodes, and it just didn't hook me. But I understand where you like it, and I'm not shocked necessarily, because we both kind of researched the same way, and this is on a lot of lists. So tell me why. Tell me why your favorite show of all time lasted too long.
Scrubs. My favorite show, Scrubs, of all time lasted too long. It went 8 seasons, and it was always that show that was in danger of cancellation. Like, if you ever listen to Zach Braff and Donald Faison talk about it, they talk about how every year at the wrap party, we were like, well, is this it? Or is this not it? And, you know, it almost was it when the writer's strike happened, and they went and NBC dropped them. But then they get picked up by ABC for a final season, an 8th season. And in that 8th season, they do it's a series finale. Like, it's a straight up series finale. But somebody saw potential for money. Money apparently talked. And we made the most useless season 9 that ever needed to happen. Now, if I were to do this show all over, it would have been a 5 to 6 season show. Because things do start to get kind of strung out as you get a little further along, especially once they hit that magic syndication mark. The growth of the characters kind of hit a ceiling, and it's hard to get past that. But season 8, that season 8 finale was so fitting and so perfect, and it didn't need to end. That season didn't need another season. Like, that should have been it. And unfortunately, like, Bill Lawrence had very little to do with it. Zach Braff was only in half the episodes. Sarah Chalk was only in half the episodes. The only two regulars from the previous series or seasons that were there for the run were Donald Faison and John C. McGinley, Dr. Cox and Dr. Turk. And they're fine, but it wasn't the same show. They tried to bring in young actors to kind of recreate and move the vibe forward. It just didn't work. And that was kind of it. So season 8 of Scrubs should have been where it finished. Finally. And even that was probably a season or two too long. And that's coming from a guy who loves that show.
It's interesting when sit there and can kind of, if you love something so much, it's almost easier for you to pick out the faults. You know what I'm saying? You know what's good about it. And then you know, you don't like to admit it, but you know what's bad about it too.
What's hilarious about watching that show, or so I listened to Faison and Braff's podcast, and they've been doing an episode by episode, like sort of retrospective. What's actually really funny for me is when I disagree with shows, the episodes they hate, and I'm like, no, I fucking love this show. Like, what's wrong with you? And kind of hear where they were kind of done too, because they're now heading into the last of season 8, and even then they're like, season 9 doesn't exist. So many people say season 9 doesn't exist because it was just, it was bad. So, all right, that's number 3s. That means we're into number 2, and that's to me. Here's the thing I think you got to appreciate about me, Tony. I see a lot of things through to the end. I saw Walking Dead through to the end.
I thought this might come up on your list.
The Walking Dead went for, God, what, 10, 11 seasons? It should have, again.
You got something higher up on your list than Walking Dead, because I thought that'd be your number one. Interesting.
Well, I'll explain it when my number one comes along.
Okay.
And I think you'll accept it.
All right.
But you want to talk about a show that just limped along and kept just dragging itself into circles for 6 seasons. Basically, once the Negan stuff played out, that should have been the end of the series, even though there was more material. Instead, we drug it out into the Whispers. We drug it out into the Colony. And while the series ends on a better note, like the last season feels okay. You don't feel totally cheated. Show just dragged on and on. It was awful. Characters that nobody cared about the characters by the time it was all done. Deaths just didn't mean anything because they would just kill everybody. To the point where it was like, why are we watching? And when you lose Rick Grimes, you lose Carl, and you lose Michonne, I don't care. I don't care. The series just can't go on. And they kept going. So, Walking Dead, my number 2.
Yeah, that seemed to be on a lot of lists. Another show where you love it so much, but they just couldn't find a way to end it the right way for the fandom. My number 2 is the last sitcom on my list. And I think it's the original sitcom to last too long, even thus coining the phrase of a sitcom that lasts too long. Oh, boy. Okay. All right. That's your number 1.
Okay. I'm willing to bet it's are you talking about the show that gave us Jumping the Shark?
Yes.
Then that is my number 1.
Okay. So then, well, do you want to – we did your 2 already, right?
Yep.
Do you want to just get into
it? So it's your number 1 anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, let's just get into Happy Days now, and you can wrap up.
All right.
It's the show that started all of shows that have stayed on too long.
Exactly.
Like, and the first show that I thought of for the list was Happy Days. Because Happy Days, and this is another show that it's fascinating because it transitioned away from being about Richie Cunningham to being about Fonz. And at some point, the Fonz just, it was, again, when you have him on water skis jumping over sharks circling in a pool, like you're done. You're done. It was stupid land. It created a ton of spinoffs and successful shows. Some not so successful shows, like Joni Loves Chachi, not exactly a successful show. But Laverne and Shirley,
very successful.
Pretty darn popular shows. Very successful. Very good. So it's not that Happy Days wasn't a great show or an important sitcom, but I get it from an executive point of view, right? Like, that's the same thing with The Walking Dead. Like, as an executive, you're like, this show's great. Everybody watches it. It's making us money hand over fist. But when the writers are out of ideas, it's time to let something go. So, yes, Happy Days was my number 1. And it's because it's the OG. It's the OG. Thought about the Brady Bunch, too. Could have done the Brady Bunch with Cousin Oliver and all that shit.
Sure.
Nope, Happy Days wins.
Happy Days, very nostalgic geographically, locally, where I am. We even have a Bronze Fonz downtown Milwaukee, but this show is basically set in Racine at a diner and in a suburb of Racine, so Wisconsin. All right, my number 1, and the title is very apropos. Lost. Because by the end of this series, we were all lost. The first, I think it was 6 seasons, 5 or 6 seasons this show was. And the first 2 to 3 were excellent. You're trying to figure out what's going on. But then you just get so far off the plantation that it's just ridiculousness ensues to where we're almost time traveling inside of what's going on. And then the ending to where basically what you saw was purgatory. And a lot of people took it as that. It was what it was. It just, I don't know necessarily that this categorizes more into, you can categorize it as in lasted too long, but just done wrong in the end. To finish out the show, and at the very least the last two seasons, this could have been wrapped up in 3 to 4. But wonderful cast, hugely popular at the time. A lot of these actors and actresses from this show who were unknown going in made themselves careers out of it afterwards. Do you watch Lost at all, Patrick, or no?
I tried but couldn't get into it. But Lost is really interesting because, you know, J.J. Abrams is like, this is what made J.J. Abrams J.J. Abrams, right? Like, made him super famous and important. But he was very much, his style of storytelling, it's another one of those things where it puts you in a spot where, like, if you don't have an end game in mind, you're putting yourself in a place where you can't really effectively end it because you're kind of going around in circles. And that was really the thing that stuck out to me with a lot of the criticism of folks, is that it's like you said, they kind of got lost and they were just trying to keep that cash cow going, because Lost was another one of those appointment television shows for so many people. And so, well, I get why I didn't make it.
Yeah. And I talk about the cast, and while it kind of rejuvenated Matthew Fox, who had a career beforehand, a lot of these people that I'm about to mention, you didn't really know about before this show. Evangeline Lilly, Jorge Garcia, Naveen Andrews, Michael Emerson. I don't even think many people knew about Dominic Monaghan at the time. So you're talking about kickstarting a lot.
Unless you were a Lord of the Rings fan.
Yep. But I mean, as far as television wise, you didn't see him doing a lot of things. But yeah, I mean, that's the kind of people that they had on this show. So yeah, it's too bad. A lot of these, they just couldn't finish them right.
Right. So, excellent, excellent list. I told you I had three.
Yeah, what are they?
Three honorable mentions. The ABC fairy tale drama, Once Upon a Time, I loved for a really long time. Like, I really enjoyed, but it was another one of those shows that it just sort of ran out of fumes. You thinking of something different?
I thought about something different. I'm thinking about something that was two seasons. It was singing and in that thing, but it was completely different.
Oh no, Gallivant.
Yes, Gallivant. That would be on the other
Gallivant.
Side. That
Gallivant almost
longer.
Would have been almost. I love that show.
I did too.
That was one of my favorites.
That ended
but
too soon.
No, I will forever be angry at the at how long that show went, because it just dragged on and on and on and on and on. Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Buffy the Vampire Slayer was another Joss Whedon show. It was really, really good. I know it may not be one that you watched. It was really, really good. Really, totally great story. Buffy dies at the end of season 5. And again, it was one of those where we're like, okay, it's done. But then it got picked up somewhere else. So they brought her back to life. They did two additional seasons on top of it. It just wasn't the same. I will say that the finale, the last episode, season 7, is quite good. But I do think that it was not quite as good as I would have. It just wasn't quite as good as it was in the first 4 seasons. Really, probably after season 3, could have called it when she graduated high school. And then last but not least, another Abrams work, Alias, starring Jennifer Garner. Loved Alias for 2 seasons. And then it got weird. And it leaned too far out of the spy part of what it was doing and got really into this like weird occult people trying to find immortality shit. And that was just, it did not work for me. I didn't like it. And a lot of people didn't like it. They walked away from it. So, but without Alias, you probably don't get Bradley Cooper. So there you go.
Yeah.
All right. There you have it, everybody. PC Tunney and Patrick O'Dowd's 5 television/streaming shows that went on too long. And you got 19 shows that were on these two lists, which is a rarity in the 5x5. 10?
18.
What, no?
18.
18, because Happy Days overlapped.
And Westworld, yeah.
That's right. Happy Days and Westworld. My bad. 18, still quality and a lot of quantity. So, all right. last thing we're going to do, because it wouldn't be a show if we didn't do it, got to do what you're watching. So, Tony, I know you're going to be watching the Super Bowl. Everybody will know you have watched the Super Bowl by the time this airs.
Yes, yes.
But what you watching?
So I'll stick with the food thing, because that's really I talked about. There's not a lot going on right now as far as things on my DVR, and we're in the middle of watching different stuff. But I talked about Somebody Feed Phil not being on the Netflix trailer the other week. March 1st, that show comes back. I also went back and watched some of the Chef show the other day when I had some time. I was just hanging out. Hopefully that comes back. But what am I watching? Hell's Kitchen is over. We've moved on to the next Gordon Ramsay vehicle, and that's Next Level Chef with Nyesha Arrington and Chef Blaze, Richard Blaze. It's a really fun concept how they do it. I'm not going to explain it to you here on this show. Just go check it out. It's on Thursdays on Fox. If you're into the cooking shows and a little bit of competition and something different, this is a really, really fun one. Next Level Chef.
Excellent, excellent. I started watching, and it's an animated series on Amazon Prime. It is called, I don't think this is going to be your jam. So while I say this, I want to fully recognize. It's an animated musical called Has Been Hotel. And the story behind this series, it's 8 episodes. It is the story of the daughter of Lucifer, who is trying. So in this version of the world, heaven, in an effort to control the population of all the souls that get damned to hell, once a year sends its angels down to basically cull the souls of the denizens of hell and destroy them forever. Lucifer's daughter, in an effort to save some of these souls, her name is Charlie Morningstar. She devises a way to create a hotel that is designed to help try and rehabilitate some of the souls in hell, so that they are no longer culled by the angels in heaven. And I've only watched one episode so far, but I'm in. It's bonkers. It's hilarious. You might recognize one of the voices. Stephanie Beatriz voices the role of Vaggie, who is Charlie's girlfriend / partner. Stephanie Beatriz plays Rosa in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and instantly recognized, like, she spoke and I'm like, that's Rosa. And then again, because it was on Amazon Prime, just pressed pause and I was like, there it is. There's Rosa.
You don't even have to. Well, what do you watch? How do you watch your streaming stuff?
My TV. Okay. I watch it on my TV.
Gotcha.
Through my TV.
I watch it on my PlayStation, so I just press down. It doesn't even pause. It just comes up.
Nice. Keith David does a voice of a character in this. Very, very famous voice. If you've heard him, you know who he is.
This is on my list on Amazon, so it looks fun. I'm glad you brought it up.
Hilarious.
Seen the first episode you've seen?
I've seen the first episode. I think my favorite part was you meet Adam, like from Adam and Eve, and he's a total dude bro dick douchebag, sings this whole song. It's hilarious. Like, I really liked this first episode. Don't watch it around the kids, because it's foul. Sure. It is foul and it is filthy. But I've also been doing some reading. I just finished one book and I just started another one. So The Athletic, the online magazine, they've put out a couple books now. I told you back when I read the Baseball 100, where they gave their list of the 100 greatest baseball players of all time. Well, back in August, August or April of 2023, one of the ones that starts with an A, they released the Football 100. And I gave it a look. I actually got really mad at this list because I feel like it's loaded with some recency bias. And maybe that's just my opinion. I just need to read the articles for what they were. But who would you say was their number one?
Greatest football player of all time?
Yeah.
Tom Brady, probably.
That was their number one.
Yeah.
Was Tom Brady. Jim Brown was number two. I would flip him, but that's just me because of the social impact of Jim Brown. But I get it.
Neither of those are my greatest football player of all time.
Who's your greatest football player of all time?
Jerry Rice.
Jerry Rice was he was number three. So top 10, Dick Butkus, Johnny Unitas, Walter Payton, Peyton Manning, Joe Montana, Reggie White, Lawrence Taylor, Jerry Rice, Jim Brown, Tom Brady. Here's where I said what the fuck ever, and this isn't because I'm a Bears fan. Aaron Rodgers is listed as number 21 in front of players like Barry Sanders. I'm sorry.
Aaron Rodgers won 4 MVPs, Patrick.
Barry Sanders is being victimized by the team he plays for.
I'm not saying he's not. Opinion. I said, someone asked me in social media, I responded to something about a Jim Brown, greatest running back of all time. I said it's Brown and Barry Sanders and then everybody else. So
they have him behind Emmitt Smith. Like Emmitt Smith is.
But I'm not trying to defend a Packers player either. But I think.
Oh, no, he is ahead of Emmitt Smith. I lied.
I don't know where I would end up putting him all time, but we'll just say he is only one of two players to ever win 4 NFL MVPs.
Right. I'm not saying that he wasn't among the 100 greatest football players of all time. I think Barry Sanders is woofully underranked on this list in general. Like he's listed at number 23. And I'm just like, is he though? You know, JJ Watt's at 35. It was really interesting the number of like sort of recent names like some guys are current, like I think he will be he is amongst the 100 greatest players of all time. Like Patrick Mahomes was listed as number 98, which was a little surprising, but well, I mean, just kind of going through
two MVPs and 2 Super Bowls already. That puts you up there.
No, I think he is amongst one of the 100 and one of the greatest things
probably
about lists,
when he's done, he'll be in the top lists, 10, I think.
Right. And I do think that part of the thing about these lists is the debate that surrounds it.
Awesome. Yeah.
Right. But the other book that I just started reading that I'm really excited to get into is a book titled Will You Love Me Tomorrow? And it is a oral history retrospective of girl groups from the 60s and into the 70s. The Shirelles, the Supremes, the Vandellas, and kind of looking back at what is quickly becoming a largely forgotten piece of music history. And so these authors went and they conducted interviews with all these surviving members of girl groups to talk about the history of these girl groups, how they got to be where they were and where they found their niche in music. And it's been a really interesting read so far. So I haven't really been watching so much as reading, Tony.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing
wrong
with that.
But having a good time. So, yeah. All right. Well, we gave him about an hour and a half of good content. I promised a short show. We gave you the goods, people. So before we get out of here, Tony, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on the socials, on the Chairshot Radio Network, all of that good stuff.
Yeah, you can follow me at PC Tunney, and you can hear me all over Chairshot Radio Network on all of your favorite streaming platforms and also available on thechairshot.com.
All right, and you can follow me on the social medias at Wrestling Realist. That is at WrestlingRealist. You can listen to me every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday on the Chairshot Radio Network. Hope you guys really enjoyed this show. I really had a lot of fun. Always good to talk about, do a 5x5. I miss those. I wish I had more time to actually do them a little more regularly. But taking advantage of this opportunity was great. So that's going to do it for us. I forgot. Follow the show on X, Twitter, at Bandwagon Nerds. Always good to get some polls up there. Maybe that'll be a poll. What show do you think ended too early or went on too long? We'll throw it out there. We'll see what happens. But that is going to do it for this week's edition of Bandwagon Nerds. Now get yourself out of the basement. Get some sun. Check out the Super Bowl. I hope you enjoyed it. Watch some of these shows that ended too early and start a writing campaign to bring them back. You have been listening to Bandwagon Nerds here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.